above all others, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sure that our hearts unite to say, He is altogether lovely. You may search the world for all the loveliness that it may contain, but whatever you find in the world that is really lovely, it is in Him. You may search all the qualities of human character that could be called lovely in whatever phase of character they may be, and you'll find every phase of character in its loveliness completely in Him. You can go into the realm of nature and find the loveliness of that which God in His creatorial glory has brought into existence. And whatever picture of loveliness you may find in nature, you'll find it in Him. You can go into the heavenly glories by spiritual revelation and find the declaration of precious truth that the Word of God reveals concerning the character of heavenly beings and of that heavenly Godhead and all the glories and the excellencies of all the Godhead. You'll find them in the Lord Jesus. Go through the whole realm of the universe and find every lovely thing and you'll find it in Him. Isn't it wonderful to have it all wrapped up in one person? And I know Him. And I hope we all do. And we can say as our brother sang, I'd rather have Jesus than the whole world. How precious. Oh, I'm sure that all of those who are saved can certainly say, Blessed be God. Turn with me this afternoon to three scriptures. I'm going to read first of all in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. The epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 3. Where the apostle writes saying, Blessed be God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. May I read the words again? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Turn back to the Epistle of Corinthians, the second letter. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, reading with me at verse 3, and reading, if you will, through verse 4. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy, and the God of all comfort or encouragement, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. 1 Peter chapter 1, commencing to read at verse 3. And reading through verse 5, the Epistle of Peter, chapter 1, the first letter, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively or a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven, for you who are kept by the power of God, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. May God bless the reading and the hearing of these portions from His precious and holy word. You may have noticed, I trust you did carefully notice, that every scripture that we've read commences with the one word, blessed. A word that in the original text has for its implication this meaning. It means to give praise. In fact, we derive our English word eulogy from it. And thus each phrase opens with that one word, blessed. Meaning, let us speak well of. Let us eulogize. Let us pray. Let us adore. And the words of praise, the words of eulogy are all addressed to one person. They are addressed to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And how wonderful that God our Father and His Father can thus be eulogized, as Paul writes on two occasions, and Peter 1, the word blessed of the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oftentimes, eulogies are left till a person dies. It doesn't help them a bit, does it? But oh, the preciousness of realizing that the believer can eulogize and speak well of the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Firstly, I say, there is no greater intimacy of relationship than to be a child of God and able to address Him in that intimate relationship, calling Him Father. Can you do that? Not all the children of God, but only those who through faith in Jesus Christ can thus address Him as such, have the privilege, the preciousness of calling God Father. The wonderful privilege that God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. A grand thing to be saved. And oh, may I say, if there's one with us, knowing not the Lord Jesus, you can have the privilege, to you is offered the great privilege of becoming a child of God and knowing God as Father. Let me tell you how briefly. To as many as received Him, that is Christ, to them gave He the right, the privilege, the authority to be called the sons or the children of God, even to them that believe on His name. And how precious to be a child of God and call Him Father. All the children of God have the privilege of saying these words that Paul has written, and that Peter has written, to eulogize the Father. Could I ask you, do you ever eulogize God? Do you ever eulogize Him and speak well of Him as the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ? You have three great reasons to do it, as these scriptures declare. Paul, writing in the Ephesian letter, eulogizes God as the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ for what He has done. Then in the Corinthian epistle, He eulogizes the Father for what He is doing. And then Peter eulogizes the Father for what He will yet do. How wonderful. To eulogize Him for what is past, to eulogize Him for what is present, to speak well of Him for what is ahead. What more could be covered? The past.
and to eulogize the Father for what he has done, the present, and to eulogize the Father for what he is doing, regardless after the circumstance. The future, praise the Lord, there's no nuclear danger. Right. To eulogize him for what is before the believer, the glory. My, the whole auditorium ought to be filled with eulogy to the Father. Look at them separately. In Ephesians, Paul eulogizes him for what he has done. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath something already accomplished, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You see, when did the Father give such blessings to his children? Very briefly, let me suggest the reading of the context at your convenience and explain it in this manner. If you read the first 14 verses of this chapter, you'll have the presentation of the great Godhead. You'll see God the Father in his elective, sovereign, loving grace, desiring to have a family. That family to be him. Every child to be like him. Holy, without blame, before him in love. Wouldn't you like a family like that? Will you never get one down here? But God says, I'm going to have one like that. Every child, holy and without blame, before me in love. And thus he predetermined, in his elective and sovereign grace, they will be my family. And then in his sovereign grace, he chooses to get them from a most unlikely source, the ruined family of Adam. Think of that. From this world of sin and darkness, from the human race that has fallen under the bondage power of sin and the tyranny of Satan. And the Son is revealed in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And the entrusting of redemption's work is given to the Son. And the Son, praise God, does the work for the Father. And he does the work to save you and me at the same time. He comes to get a family for the Father. And he comes to get you and me to be in the family. Why, everybody ought to be jumping at the chance. But they're not. The privilege that the Son has died to forgive sinners that they may be brought into the family of God. And then you read of the Holy Spirit. Upon believing, we are sealed with that Holy Spirit of Christ. Until the blessed inheritance of that possession which our Lord has bought with his blood, which he will claim at his coming. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, combining for the redemption of our souls, and the Father bringing, through that Son, by the Spirit, the work of redemption to every believer, and blessing them with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You know I'm not sure of my blessings on the earth, but I'll tell you what I am sure about them. I'm sure of leaving them off. But I'm sure of my blessings in Christ. They're mine forever. He has blessed us with all or every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. And as I think of what God my Father has done for me, through his Son, by his Spirit, I must eulogize and speak well of my Father, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I look back over my past and I say, praise God. He saved me. When I look back and see the past of my sins, they don't trouble me, praise God. They cannot. They're under the blood. Praise His holy name. As far as the east is removed from the west, so far hath He removed our transgression from us. What a God. My Father did that for me. I will cast their sins into the depths of the sea. He did that for me. Their sins and iniquities will I remember. How often? No more. What a Father. Blessed be the God and Father of my Lord Jesus Christ. Eulogize the Father for the preciousness. That, not alone that, but even since He forgave my sins, the 49 and more years that I traveled away, homeless to glory, I still have a lot to praise Him for in those 49 years. Praise the Lord. To you that will bless your soul, you'd never stop if you started right and kept going as you should, praising the Father for what He's done. And you sing, count your blessings, and you'll never get through counting them. He has blessed us with what? Every spiritual blessing. I don't know how many you've enjoyed, but let me tell you, you haven't enjoyed enough of them yet. And perhaps you better get acquainted with more of them. Amen. Oh, believer, look at the past. And you bless God and eulogize the Father of our Lord Jesus. Oh, what a Father. By that Father sovereignly chosen to be His child. By His Son redeemed by His blood. By His Spirit sealed, chosen, redeemed, sealed. My goodness, I couldn't be safer than that, could I? Let me eulogize my Father. There may have been dark things in my past. But I'll tell you, this eclipses all the darkness, if you please. What my Father has done for me, through His Son, by His Spirit. Oh, let us eulogize. Go to 2 Corinthians 1. And look at the beloved apostle writing again. And if you read the second epistle of Corinthians, you'll note that the whole epistle concerns trouble. Trouble. The beloved apostle is provoked in spirit to recite the many troubles, difficulties, dangers, and the things of experiences that were his as a servant of God and the dangers of the world. But before the apostle begins enumerating those troubles, let me just point out in chapter 1 some of those troubles. In verse 8 and 9 and 10. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. And the whole strain of the epistle is along that line of difficulty, dangers, trouble, pressed above measure, never out, but always pressed in circumstances around on every hand with difficulty. The night the Lord Jesus saved me, I had the mistaken conception, John, your troubles are over. You'll never have another one. John, the devil will never bother you anymore. Mistake number 2. John, you'll be a better boy than mother ever had before. Well, that was mistake number 3, but I found out John was still the same in his flesh. I didn't get that second blessing that eradicates the flesh. I'm glad I did, because it makes so much trouble for folks. But I did find trouble. 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 And they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I remember a brother in the Lord as I walked into his door one day. He said, "Brother John, we had a preacher come in this morning." He didn't name the man. And he said, "Another brother and I were talking together. And this preacher came in and said, 'What are you fellows talking about?' Well," they said to him, "we're talking of the trouble that the devil makes for God's people." The preacher said, the devil never bothers me." He says, I looked at him and said, "Well, brother, maybe you don't bother the devil." Which was a good answer. But there are troubles. Troubles are one of the best instruments in Christian experience to make you a better Christian. What? Now don't ask for trouble. But I'll guarantee you'll get enough without asking. But it's one of the most blessed instruments under God to make a better Christian. I remember one of the early conferences, Brother Smith stood up here and spoke, "When Men Pray," from the 107th Psalm. I don't know how many of you remember. But I recall as he took those characteristic illustrations from the Psalm, "When men pray," it was always when they got in trouble. And you remember the words concerning the mariner on the sea. The boat goes to the highest crest of the waves, then it comes down into the depths of the trough. And it reads, "They're at their wit's end, and they know not what to do. And their soul is melted because of trouble." There's nothing like trouble to melt a soul. And I want to tell you, there's some saints that really need melting. And the best way God has of melting them is to send them some trouble. Now, as a boy in England, there was a little abbey called Beechey Abbey, right near home, outside the city a few miles. We didn't think anything of walking 5 miles to see it. And in the days of that abbey, in the early days of England, it had been under the state government. It had been a place where wealth, the wealth of the church, was found. And in the days of Oliver Cromwell, who was called the defender of the Commonwealth, who fought for the interests of the common people against the crown, Oliver Cromwell used to raid those churches and pillage them to find the wealth that was in there. Well, many times there was wealth in abundance. And one time as he sent a detachment of soldiers to a nearby cathedral, he told them, "Find anything of value. Bring it. We need it." And so they came, and as they appeared before the commander, the spokesman said, "Sir, there's nothing of value in that cathedral." "What?" roared the commander. "What? Not a thing," said the man. "Sir, the only thing we did see were the silver statues of the saints," said the general, as he roared at the man, "Take the saints down, melt them, put them in circulation." Well, I want to tell you, I'd rather be a melted saint than a cold statue. Amen? Well, now, don't complain if God melts you now. Trouble. But listen to these words. Verse 3, 2 Corinthians 1. Even in the midst of trouble, Paul says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And notice the name. Not only the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy. Even saints need mercy. You sing that good old hymn at Calvary, "Mercy there was great and grace was free." But saints need mercy. And our Father is the Father of mercy. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. And his mercy is as high as the heavens. Thank God, the Father of mercy. He'll be more merciful to you, will your Father above, than any other person. And then notice the next word. He's the God of all comfort. The God of not some comfort, the God of all comfort. And in your troubles, the source of all comfort for the believer is God himself. My Father, praise his holy name. The Father of my Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy, is the source of all my encouragement. He is. I wouldn't be here tonight today if he wasn't. I know that. The God of all encouragement, every bit of it, comes from me. Whatever source of comfort reaches my heart, reaches my soul, God sent it. Praise his name. How does he do that? Well, many ways. But let me just give you three. I think of the words of Paul in Romans 15:4, where he writes, the comfort of the Spirit, whereby we might have hope. Are you in need of encouragement? Are you in need of comfort? God has it for you, believer. The Holy Scriptures. The Holy Scriptures. I never will forget one that God blessed to me in a time of trouble. Psalm 50:15. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will answer thee, and thou shalt glorify me. That was a blessed comfort. Psalm 50:15. The God of all encouragement, the comfort of the Scriptures. Lord, give me a verse to comfort me. And bless your soul, you can find a psalm many times that'll be a source of comfort. The Father will comfort you through his word. You like a comforting letter from a friend, from a loved one, you've got a better one in this book. The Father himself will comfort you. The comfort of the Scripture. And then, thank God, I think of this same epistle, chapter 7, verse 6, I think. Paul says we were comforted by the coming of Titus. And in 2 Timothy 1, Paul writes concerning Onesiphorus, how we oft refreshed me. And he was not ashamed of my chain. And when he was in Rome, he sought me diligently until he found me. He oft refreshed me. And in the Greek text, lovely expression. He oft refreshed me. The word refresh means, just as in the heat of the day, the burden and the trial of the heat is so terrific, here comes a cool breeze of fresh air to bring relief. And you know what a joy it is when God can use a saint to comfort another. The comfort of saints. All saints, may I say to you as well as to myself, we are to comfort each other. We are to encourage one another. And God wants his people to be refreshing saints, for they are to be channeled to pass on his own divine comfort to us. Then I think of that other comfort, which is the best yet, and I'm waiting for it every day. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Praise the Lord. We're going to get out of a whole mess soon. And we're going home to glory. That cheer you up? Don't you want to leave? Well, bless your heart, I've never found a place better to leave than this old world. And the longer I live in it, the less I wish to live longer in it. I have a comforting hope. To God, all encouragement. Bless your heart. He takes care of you while you're going through this place, and then at the end, he takes you to a better place. Forever. What a father. Say, I want to be where he is. If that's my father, I want to be where he is. And praise God, I will be. Oh, how precious. In the midst of your trial, the heat of the burden, the trial of the day. Won't you eulogize your Father? Said, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ, the Father of mercy, the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in not some, but all our tribulations. And if you not get any comfort out of him, it's your own fault. He's got it for you. He says he's got enough for all of it. Praise the Lord. Sometimes I have a hard time, maybe, putting up with some things and some people. But here's the comforting encouragement of God my Father. How precious. The comfort of the Scripture. Like the old colored fellow said, his favorite verse was that expression, that it came to pass. It came to pass. It came to pass. Because he knew he didn't come to stay. Glad he didn't say that. Well, there's more than one way of getting comfort out of the Scriptures. The old fellow was right, anyway. Anything you go through down here, it'll pass away. But the comfort of your Father, the comfort of the Scriptures are for your heart, for your encouragement. The comfort of faith. Listen, there are some Christians that isolate themselves when they're in trouble and trial. Don't do it. You're wrong. You need the comfort of saints. And then, beloved saints, there are some saints that need your comfort. Take it to them. If you notice the third, fourth verse, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. What God uses to comfort you, pass on to others. I remember hearing dear Brother Ironside many years ago tell, he never would visit sick people. And he never had any design or intention of doing it. Until God struck him down with typhoid fever. And as the dear brother found what it was to be so discomforted that he couldn't read the Scriptures, he couldn't pray, he was so miserable, he found what it meant to have a brother come who read the Scriptures and prayed with him in that period of trial. Months later, when he was back ministering the Word of God, circulating around the country, his host in a certain place said, Brother Ironside, would you go with me to visit a sick brother in the Lord? He said, what's the matter with the brother? Said the host, he's got typhoid fever. Oh, he has. He says, take me to him. I'm a typhoid specialist. Well, I don't know what your specialist line, your line of specialist may be, but listen, what God's done for you, saints, there are other saints need that encouragement that you got. Pass it on. Well, let's face it. 1 Peter 1. I not only eulogize him for the past, I not only eulogize him for the present, but oh, as I look down the future, this is brightest here. My, thank God. You know the unsaved, they can't say it. They don't have a bright future. They've got nothing but darkness. The world, with its chaotic condition today, what lies before it? I wouldn't want to be the president of these United States. Nor even the head of the disunited nations. For that's what it is. No, sir. The whole world at large is in chaos. There's no hope. There's nothing shines as a hope to the conditions of this place in which you and I live. But every believer in the Lord Jesus, every child of God has definitely a blessed hope. Praise his name. And when I think of my future, unto a lively or a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Did you ever see any lively children? My, I wish I had one-tenth of their energy. And when you see life buoyant, and that's the meaning of this word lively, living, buoyant, a hope that lifts you above the circumstances, a hope that lifts you buoyantly above the darkness of this scene and the conditions that may be yours. A lively hope. A hope that is founded upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and points you, as you notice in the next verse, to what? an inheritance. An inheritance. Praise the Lord. What kind of an inheritance in the future? Notice four descriptions of it. Incorruptible. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And we're living undoubtedly in such characteristic days. Corruption, violence were the days of Noah, so the world today. Everything in this world is corruptible. Corruptible. Corruption and decay. Change and decay in all around, I see. Thank God. My inheritance in the future is incorruptible. Praise His name. Where moth and rust doth not corrupt, where thieves cannot break through and steal. Second, it's not only incorruptible, but it's undefiled. Not even can I spoil it. No one can spoil or defile that inheritance to which I am going. Praise His. And that fadeth not away. Why, doesn't that cheer your heart to realize the future will never fade away? My, did any of you ladies lose your bridal beauty? How long do you keep that? Well, all I got to do is look in the mirror and look at myself. It tells me the story. Everything here fades away. The fashion of this world and all. My inheritance in the glory fadeth not away. And then fourth, reserved in heaven. Reserved in, I'm glad it's up there. If it were down here, it would be ruined. By man or the devil, or even myself. But it's reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. What an inheritance. Kept for me, reserved for me, and I am being kept for it. Now, if you folks got a letter tomorrow morning that you're going to inherit $1 million, I bet you wouldn't sleep next night. You'd be so excited. I don't see you getting excited this afternoon. As you and I will realize what lies before us in the eternal glory. The wealth of that universal glory to which our Savior is bringing us in His sovereign grace. The Father having bestowed upon Him, as Paul said, all things are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God. And the wealth of the Father's heart and of His possessions shall be showered upon His eternal, blessed, lovely, adorable Son, and shared with those who are the co-heirs with God and joint heirs with our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm one of the heirs. And so is every child of God. Beloved, look. David said in Psalm 34, verse 1, these words, I will bless, and it's the same word eulogize, I will eulogize the Lord, how often? At all times. His praise shall continually be when? In my mouth. Oh, beloved, I pray that the Spirit of God will help us, whether we look at the past, whether we consider the present, whether we anticipate the future, to say, blessed be the God and Father of our